you, Lord, trusting that, Lord, the great Jehovah, you're going to speak to our hearts. To that end, Lord, we come tonight. We come to meet with you. You promised that whenever we do this, you'll be here with us, Lord. And you've done that every time, Lord God, that we've come together. Tonight, you don't be exceptional, Lord. And we trust, Father, that you're going to start before us, Father. Take me out of this place, Lord. Speak to the hearts of the children, Lord God, tonight. We commit everything, Lord God, to you now. We commit the service to you. All the needs of the people, Father, we put them on your feet, Lord, that you take care of them, Lord, because you're a good God and for the glory of your name. Father, Brother Don talked about Brother Benjamin, Father, and what he's going through. We can only imagine, Lord God, what a hit it was, Lord God, about what happened with his home. Father, there's nobody, and there's nothing we can do, Lord, but you are never short of ideas, Father. You can do something. You can touch those hearts, Father, and comfort them, Lord. Father, the same with my brother here, Father, and the family. Lord, we pray, Father, Lord God, that you have mercy upon the family, Lord. Touch them, Lord, in a great manner, Father. Let them know, Father, that they have a great companion called God, and he's never left them, and you never leave them, Lord. In all things, Father, we give glory and honor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You can get seated. Sorry for that confusion. When I realized that Don was ready, or Don was getting ready, I wished that I'd come through the other door. I didn't want to change that. But I think it's my mistake. I think I got him wrong when he said that. And because when he showed me the this, I looked at it. I said, I think I was wrong on that. I think I was wrong, Brother Don. I think I took it wrong. I'm sorry. And
I told you were welcome for Eni.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize you.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I know when somebody is said to preach and like that is it, and then you think it. I know it's sometimes, but now you say you've been struggling. I don't know. I don't see you struggling any time. So I think it just comes easy with you. I thought I'd struggle, brother. I struggle. I need a struggle before it comes. But thank you. All things work together for good. I don't know why it was me today. I don't know. As they say, it's fallen my lot to stand before the people. So somehow I got myself here. So that's all right. I've been looking at something here. I'm not gonna bring everything, but I want to hit some few places here and here about the trumpets. The thing that I see with this is that it's not something new. It's not something new that I can bring before you people. I think you know it. But the thing I realized is that you know, I see in the groups quotes just thrown there like that. And I look at it, I say, people keep quiet. People don't talk very much. And especially when these things are said about the trumpets. And I realize very many people don't realize where to put trumpets. Because, and again, when you look at the Feast of the Trumpets, the prophet kind of, that's a very... and I'm not saying I'm any better, but it's a very difficult, it's a very hidden book. The mysteries there are very much hidden. It's really hidden. Amen. Not very many people really just go there. You read it 3-4 times, and you still find that you still have some, it's not really open like that. Sure. It's not easy. It's not an easy book. So I thought the reason as to why people really keep quiet on that is, I think people really don't understand the trumpets. And I've talked to some people several times, and I found out they really don't understand the trumpets. And I also don't. I also didn't for some time. But I would say God has helped me. I realized I didn't know it. I read that book very many times, sister, and I didn't understand what is really the prophet. And also the prophet there stammers very much. If you look at that, you get him about 3-4 times stammering, saying six trumpets, six like that, stammering, in several times there. So you can really get confused what he's driving to. But after going to other quotes and other books, you find that it is really well explained. It really, he really says what it is. As you remember, when I was talking about the two angels of Revelation 12, of Revelation 11, I talked about Moses and Elijah there, and I said, I think the quotes have come. I'm sorry that I sent them late, Brother Michael. So you find that I was saying there that if you remember, I was saying that the two prophets is not just the Old and New Testament. If you take my words right, I was saying that it's not just the Old and New Testament. I said it's the Old and New Testament of Revelation 10:7. Revelation 10:7 is the Old and New Testament revealed, if you remember very well. When they are revealed, that is what I call Moses and Elijah. It's not just the Old and New Testament. The Old and New Testament is a sealed book, or has been a sealed book. It's completely sealed. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows what it is. Nobody knows what it is. And I also said, if you remember, sometimes ago, when you were talking about the tree, not eating the tree or eating the tree, I said this, if you remember, and I'm going to say it, maybe if you're recording somewhere, you can take me like this. I said, the book of redemption is Jesus Christ, Adam. It's just simple. You know, those, if you take the, and I'm going to read the first few quotes, first quote I'm going to read is the law of God, how God opens it, how God tells you, go about it this way, so that sometimes we don't go about it the way the Lord said we go about it. That's why sometimes we miss it. But if you go about it the way the Lord said go about it, you're surely going to get it. But now, sometimes we don't, and those who God does not want them to get it, God does not allow them to go the way God said go, so that you get it. There's a way, there's a path, there's a road that you follow to get it. Yeah. If you miss that, you never get it. Whatsoever you do, you never get it. There's a way that the prophet said, go this way, and you will get it. So, and the same case with this. So I said, the book of redemption, I've really been struggling to bring it. I wanted really to bring the book, but I found out that there is a lot of books. There is a lot of about the book. This book, the book of redemption, the book that your name is taken out of, the book that your name cannot be taken off. This book, the book of redemption, the book that it will be opened. This book will be opened. And another book will be opened, and all those that are not written in the book of life before the foundation of the world, all those. I found out I need to bring each book and say, this book and this are the same, this book and the same. But in simple terms, the book of redemption is Jesus Christ. The book of redemption is the Bible. Because when he talks about the opening of the seal, you're going to find that, the book of redemption. And you got to know this language. The book of redemption is the Bible. So if the book of redemption is the Bible, the book of redemption is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the prophet also said the tree of life at the Garden of Eden was what? Was what? Do you remember? The tree in the Garden of Eden, what was it? It's Jesus Christ. I think you agree with that on that. Yeah. Eh? All that is Jesus, this is Jesus Christ, this is Jesus. And we don't have two Jesus Christ. So at the Garden of Eden, the tree of life is Jesus Christ. So if we hear that this book of redemption, which is the Bible, is Jesus Christ, is sealed with seven seals, then we know, I think we understand that, then we know in Genesis, when it is said that the tree was sealed, in other words, a sword was put there so that you cannot go to it, and cherubims were put there, then we realize it is the same thing that is sealed. It is Jesus Christ that you cannot eat, and we understand what eating is, do we? eating Jesus is getting his word. I mean, understanding him. when you get him, when you eat him, like now we are eating. Communion is eating Jesus Christ. It was commemorated by eating the bread. The bread of life is Jesus Christ. That is eating Jesus Christ. So when you gather together, like this is the reality now. This is reality now. Eating him is now. So eating at the Garden of Eden, the tree of life is Jesus Christ. You could not, you know, and why he speaks like that? He said, because some of the people are not supposed to hear. Some of the people are not supposed to get what that tree is. Some of the people are not even supposed to get what eating is. Some of the people will never eat it. And that's why he talks like that. But he said, you, there are some people, you are given to know. You are given to eat it. That's why you understand this language of God. Now, therefore, that tree of life, surrounded with cherubims, is the one that is sealed. It's sealed with seven seals. And why seven seals and cherubims and the sword? Why is it? Seven is always completion. It's completely sealed. And the prophet says, Cain and Abel went there to eat it. And they went very close east. They went east and they made their temple there, facing that tree, facing the east where it was. Because they didn't want it, but they could not get it. That does not mean they were not there. Because the tree of life was not a tree of a mango tree somewhere. It was God himself. But he was so sealed, you cannot understand him. You cannot eat him. You cannot go there and eat him. The book is sealed with seven seals. The book is complete. Seven means completion. It's completely sealed. You cannot understand it. Brother, let me tell you something. These theologians and everybody, let them go. The prophet said they will scratch their heads until hair comes out before they understand just one single thing. Where you start understanding him, and starting understanding him is Godhead. He said, Godhead, I don't know about the book or the first base.
The baseball.
I don't understand. You have not even touched the base. You have not touched the first base. You have not even touched God. That's where you start knowing him. And that's where the prophet said, they will scratch their heads, at the theologians, until the hair comes out of their hair before they understand what Godhead is. Before they start understanding this God that is so sealed. He's so sealed. You cannot, praise be God. You cannot understand him. Nobody can understand him. Nobody. You never understand him.
Amen.
He can only come through at his own law, at his own way, and unseal it. And open it. And he doesn't open it. He doesn't open it. He said, I opened the first seal. And this was the second seal. Like that. He opens it the way he wants it. And he can only open it to whosoever he wants to open it to. And you cannot eat him until he's opened. You cannot eat him. You cannot. There's no way to eat him until he's opened. And I hope you understand that. Am I so complicated? Am I? You know, it sounds like a maze. No, I'm not trying to be complicated. I'm trying to make it easy. You remember at the Garden of Eden? Do you remember? I think you remember. And I think I've said that before. You remember there were cherubims. There were cherubims put there. You follow the prophet properly. You're going to find something. That it is cherubims. These are cherubims. When he opened the first seal, the first one was like a lion, a head of a lion. That's a cherubim. You follow the prophet properly. That's a cherubim. So the cherubims that were actually guarding in the Garden of Eden, now instead of guarding, don't come. Abel, you cannot come. Abel, you cannot come. Now, when he opened the first seal, he says, come and see. Now, seeing is understanding. Come and understand. Come and look and understand. Come and eat now. he told the first church, come and eat. The people of that said, come and eat. Come and eat. Come and understand. You never understood it. It's never been understood. It's been seen. Now come and look at it and you understand it. So it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So I said, before the seals are taken out of that book, it's still all the New Testament that is completely sealed. That is not Moses and Elijah. You cannot give them to that. You cannot give the 144,000 that. You cannot give them that. They need it when it's unsealed. And the six seals, if I am not complicated, the six seals opens, and I have a quote for that. Not seven, The six seals opens the book of redemption. The six seals opens the Bible. I think I have two quotes on that. The six seals open the Bible. The seventh brings him down to catch a bride. So you see that. So it is the six seals when they open, that is what is given to. And there are quotes to that effect, brother. And I think I brought some, but sometimes here when you're at the front, you're not able to read very much. But that's exactly right. When they were opened, because he says the feast of the Pentecost. Now, what are the feast of the trumpets. Now, and that's where I'm at. That's all that I was coming to. Now, what is the feast of the trumpets then? Because I said the sixth seal, the opening of the medicine. Am I becoming like a maze, or am I going around? Okay, good. So you see, I said the six seals being opened. And if you have a question on this, I don't tell you to ask a question because I know everything. But you can maybe ask for, maybe you've not. And by the way, I still have your questions. And I'm sorry, I didn't want to talk about that, but I still have the questions. I've brought them, I've completed them, and I've been quiet. But I just wanted to, may I say, let me say this. I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me do it. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. I didn't want to say it, but I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me you do it or don't do it. And it's not spoken. And I know I promised you, so I'm sorry. Because I thought it's something that I can give it to you, but now I feel like I want the Lord to do something on me. And sometimes he will spank your bed because of waiting and instead of doing it. I don't know, but even think about that, I'm trembling a bit. So maybe I'm a coward a bit, and sometimes I'm going to be pushed, and I'm waiting for the Lord to do that. So I'm sorry, but I'm saying that has come because of me telling you, please, if you don't understand whatever I say, and you need to ask something, you need a question somewhere, and asking a question is not war. There's nothing wrong, and maybe you can ask me a question, and then with the right attitude, and then we don't agree. It doesn't bother me. You just ask and say, I don't see it that way, and that's all. No, that's all. That way there, and you don't have a problem. I still remain like that. So if you don't understand what I'm saying, don't worry. And if you see it differently, don't worry. Still, we will talk, and you see where I stand, and maybe you can also help me because I might be wrong. So like that. The Feast of the Trumpets and the opening of the six seals, opening of that book, six seals, I call that the same thing. Because I will read here. I didn't intend to put it here, but it is together with a quote that I wanted, so I just decided to put it there together. But it says the prophet didn't have a particular message. That is the seventh church age messenger didn't have a particular message. So what he did, he went to the first trumpet, second trumpet, I will not call them trumpets. He went to the first church age and took what Paul said. And every age, he took what they said. He took what they said here, there, and brought them here. And when they brought them here, that was his message. So he didn't have a particular message. So, and that is the Feast of the Trumpets. That is the Feast of the Trumpets, eh? It's not complicated. Feast of the Trumpets is, they were eating. The first trumpet was what they, I'll tell you what the trumpet is, but let me first of all say that. The first trumpet is what was brought by, let me use the word that are used by the prophet, sounded. Sounded is the same thing by blowing. You know that blowing a trumpet is the same thing, is blown. The person who was holding that first trumpet was Abba. The trumpet. Pew, 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 pew. Have you ever heard a trumpet? Oh, okay. I have a trumpet in my house. It's something. Or have you ever gone to when the soldiers are trying to sing something, or those things that they have, they go around, like some of them are so big, they go like that, and they come out like they're scaring a bit. They're like that. And they look like a bell at the head. Eh? That's what a trumpet is. Eh? So the first person to blow the first trumpet was Paul. Paul was blowing the first trumpet. That's the first trumpet. What was the first trumpet? The first trumpet is simple. It's simple if we take it simple. The first trumpet was Paul preaching the gospel. And he's going to explain it. But it's good to understand when he sees a trumpet what it is. It's a gospel trumpet. What is it? God opens a message. He gives it to Paul. When he's bringing it, when he's trying to pray to the people, it's equivalent to blowing a trumpet. So the first trumpet, and we only have seven trumpets. One time I would like to bring the feast, the seven feasts maybe, and what they meant. What the feast of the trumpets, because they had a feast of the trumpets in the feasts in the Old Testament. And what it was a convocation, people gathering together. It was people gathering together, and they celebrated the feast of the trumpets. And it was actually a type of what they're going to have at the end here, the trumpets. And I'm going to maybe, if I have time, not today, not any time soon, maybe I'm going to tell you when, and maybe Don can do that if God puts it in his heart, the first feast, when it happened in the year, what it meant. The second feast, what it meant, and what like that. And some feasts actually were so much together. Some were far apart. But the prophet comes to say the Feast of the Trumpets and the Feast of Pentecost was actually the same thing. So Feast of Pentecost was first, and then after Feast of the Pentecost, it was the Feast of the Trumpets. So Feast of the Trumpets was actually celebrating the Feast of the Pentecost. Because Pentecost was 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, which is the church ages. So Feast of the Trumpets here was actually a celebration, or having Pentecost again, celebrating here that they had the feast, those feasts there. I don't want to be complicated, but you can ask me any question. If you feel like I'm complicated a bit, just ask me a question. I will explain it. You can ask me through the phone or something else. And if you need me to come discuss with you, I come and talk. We come and talk. So the Feast of the Trumpets. They were celebrating what had happened in the Pentecost. Pentecost was 49 plus 1, which was 50, and 50 was now the Jubilee, when people are all freed. The 50 was the number of Jubilee, the freedom of people. All those churches, the first church, the second church, the second, because every week until 49, there are 7 weeks, which is seven church ages. And then after the seventh church age, the last one was Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's when the Holy Ghost came down, when Jesus Christ was here. But then those are the other things. So, in simple terms, what I'm saying is the Feast of Pentecost is the feast of this, what Paul had, and that's exactly what the last trumpet was. The last trumpet is what brought the Feast of the Trumpets. Yeah. Because he says he didn't have a particular message. I hope you understand that. I'm going to bring quotes slowly by slowly, but that's exactly, he didn't have a particular message. He had what Paul had, and he says because they didn't have time to come to this. They didn't come until now, when the whole thing is revealed here, or the time of the revelation. So he took Paul's, he took Irenaeus, he took all those trumpets that were brewing, and he brought all of them here. That is why this quote in the Feast of the Trumpets that says that for us, we had our trumpets each time. But for them, they had all of them together. They had all of them together at one time or at the same time. Because they were brought together. The New and the New Old Testament were brought to them together. Praise be to God. I hope that's not complicated. Maybe in the course of time, I'll read it. I'll read those quotes. And if you're studying and you need a quote, let me know. I'll throw it. I'll throw it to you. Because I don't have everything together, but I think I have everything scattered, but I can put it, because I may not know where it is exactly, but I can put it very fast, because I know what it says. I remember what it says. So if you just want a quote, I can throw it. Anybody, I can just throw it. I can throw it very fast to you when you're on your studies. Let's go to this today. So that's the difference of the trumpets in a nutshell. The difference of the trumpets and the Feast of the Trumpets. The prophet in the Feast of the Trumpets said, I don't want to preach. Even he was asked a question later on, a 1964 question and answers. And he said, I think that person was wrong asking me about the trumpets, what I meant by this trumpet, because I was not preaching the trumpets. I was preaching the feast of the trumpets. I was coming to preach the trumpets, but God told me I had already preached them supernaturally. Yeah. So I preached the feast of the trumpets. I hope that's clear. But at the same time, Brother Don, even when he says that he didn't preach that, he preached, he even called every one of them. He said, I think he didn't say four, but he said one, two, three, that trumpet, and I don't see four. But he says five and six and seven, each trumpet what he meant, he said it there. And when he talked about until that, when he reached that, he said, well, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, I'm right. But the one who is telling me is not me who is telling myself. It's he who has shown me all this and shown you that it's him 1,000 times, and never one of them has failed. It's him who is telling me to tell this, because it's not written anywhere that the first trumpet says like this. So we just take it because the prophet said it. Because we don't find it in the Bible. We don't find it. Like when he says thousands and thousands horses with tails like it can sting like that. We don't know what those are. We don't know those things. It's not written anywhere in the Bible. But he tells you what they are. They are chargers. They are Roman. He tells like that. And he explains it very well. What those things are. And we know what it is. They are denomination. They are the mother who and the mother. Is it Hua? Do we say Hua or who? Hua. The Hua. Yeah. The mother Hua and all the daughters coming against this revelation. We know that. He says he called them chargers, you know, like that. So we don't want to go into that right now, but you can read that book from here. Maybe God will help us. And you can go back. I may not even read it, the whole of it, but you can go back there and now you can start reading it and maybe you can understand better than maybe you when you first read it. That's all I'm trying to help. I'm just trying to help. I'm just a helper here. I'm just trying to help if I can with the rituals or things that maybe God can help you to help me with, to help you with. So now let's go there. Let's go there and look at it. The scripture does not contradict. That is in the book. This was preached in 1861. It is not concerned about the trumpets. But I don't know why I felt like I would like to put it here. Maybe it can help. It can help me. It can help you. The prophet says there is a way to understand him. There is a way God given way. There's a law of God in these things. He says, paragraph 16. The scriptures does not contradict themselves. And there's no scripture in the Bible that contradicts itself. I have asked for that for years and years. No scripture, no statement that contradicts itself. Unless it can be straightened with the rest of the word of God. Try to put it together. Which, in other words, you can read something and you don't really get it. But you can read another one and you can later put it together. Which Jesus thanked God for, that it was hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and it would be revealed to babes such as would learn. See? Now, we've got to be humble in this. We've got to throw away our ideas about it. That's the law of God. If you want to understand God, we've got to accept God's plan of it. I'm going to bring the plan of it. This is what I'm going to bring is the plan of it. The next quote is the plan of it. What is the plan of it? Plan of it. That's the only way you will ever be able to get anywhere with God. For salvation, for soul, for the body, or for the soul, salvation of the soul, for soul or body, it will have to come through God's provided plan. Now, Brother Ron, did you get the quote? Okay, that's okay. Now, if you have got an artesian well, or in this side of the mountain, spouting water by the, you know, is a very good well, and is this side of the mountain. This side of the mountain, he's giving an example. A mountain, spouting water by the millions of gallons or hour, and crop on the other side burning up for water. Now, you could start and scream until you are not tonsures out. And screaming, oh, great water, come over here and water my crop. It won't do it. No, sir. It will stay right there, but it will. But if you will work according to the laws of gravitation and get this water to come around the mountain and water your crop, it will do it. If you will work according to the laws of God, If you work according to the rules. Now, there's enough electricity in this room to light the room if it was correctly. And like would be out in big field where it's dark. And we know that Franklin and so forth has proved that science, that electric is the air. Now, we take, I don't know about that. I don't know about science. But that's what he says, electric about the air. You people, like Brad knows a lot of science. Brad is actually a scientist. And you did very good in sciences. That's what I think. I am not. I cannot do that. And I'll take copper wire and hold it up, drop it down, and the static, the electricity will pick it up. Till it almost light the earth. If it was a mile high in the air, it would set the earth afire. Now, that's what he says. He says he's trying to explain about the law. Now, you could start out in that field and scream as loud as you wish to. I'm lost. Great electric, come now, and I the way up, that I can see how to get in out of this darkness. It will never do it. But if you will work according to the laws of electricity, why? It will light the way up, so you could get out. But you have to work according to those laws. That's what he says. You got to work according to the laws. Okay, now, God has law. He says God has law. And there is healing and salvation in God's determination for you. If you will work according to his plans, everything that you want from God, you got to work according to his plans. Amen. And his laws on such, and even in Revelation, he's got to come by his plans. Healing, salvation, anything, you got to come by his plans. And his laws on such. So that's the way we must plan the meeting. That's the way seven times around the world I've been at all different places, kinds of people, by the tens of thousands. I've seen great things that our Lord has done. But I always notice that it takes people that will humble themselves. That's the law of God. That's one of the laws of God. It takes people that will humble themselves and lay aside their own thoughts of it and just take God's thought of it and work according to his plan, which is faith in what he said. You have faith in what he said. Then God can work with you. All right. That is that. Now, in the book code, and the first seal, this is not long. I hope I'm not going to take long to explain this because it's not much. Paragraph 62, first seal. He came in the first change, the first change, revealed, sent the messenger. That's what he did. Okay. Notice what happens as we go around here. Here is the plan of it. That is his plan. This is your plan. Up there is your plan. If you want to meet God, you go to look at the plan of God. What did he say about my healing? If you come by that, you're going to get it. What did he say about what is the law of God? What is the plan of God about my salvation? You got to come by that. Now, this is the plan of it. This is how he does himself when he's bringing these things to us. This is his plan. He said, this is my plans. Notice that what happens as we go along. Here is the plan of it. The first thing happens there is an announcement in the heavens. First, what happens? A seal opens. That's an announcement. A seal opens in heaven. A revelation comes for that age. It opens. It doesn't come to everybody. It comes to that messenger of the age. That messenger of the age takes it and opens it to the people. What did he say about the seals? That God in heaven, there's no any other way. He cannot do it any other way. God in heaven opened the seals. The Lamb opened the seals. That was God himself. That was Jesus Christ himself. He opened the seals. And what does he say? He says that he came with the seals. I don't know where. Wherever Brother Branham was, and he gave it. He didn't come here that time. He gave it. Brother Branham, take this. To open to the children of your age. That's what he says. To open to your people. That's what he says in the book called The Bridge. He opens them and he gives it. That's exactly what he does in every age. For the message of that age, he opens in heaven. Then he drops it to a certain person of that age. Now listen, that's the way, that's the front of it. He says that's the front of it. In the heavens first. And what happens? He says in the heavens first. What happens? A seal is opened. What is that? What is that seal? He says, is a mystery is unfolded. In heaven, a mystery is unfolded. Can you see that, brother? That's a seal. But now you wonder, I'm not going to go into that, but just throw it there. But you wonder, we have seven churches. And we have seven seals. But for the church age, do you know that we only have four seals for the seven church ages? I hope you know that. Yeah, we only have four. 1, 2, 3, 4. The next one is the souls in the altar. You know that? Souls under the altar. You know that? Souls under the altar. You know that? That's Israel. What about the sixth? Sixth is also to the 144,000 and tribulation. Jacob's trouble. That's all. It's not to us. And he says, every trumpet sounded under that, under the sixth seal, the calling of the Israelites to the atonement. He says like that. Now what about seven? Seven is his coming. And when he comes to get the bride and the 144. And at that time, remember, at that time, that's when the souls under the altar are also given robes at that time of the seventh seal when he comes. And if you look, I'm going to read a quote there. If you look about the seventh seal, his coming, all the Holy Ghost that was given to the people of every age is not enough. They were given, I'm going to read a quote on that. They were given until that. They are sealed. They are sealed until the day of redemption. And I'm going to read a quote what that redemption is. The prophet says, it is coming. So they are sealed until then. I hope you get that. They are sealed until the seventh. So the seventh is not even, the seventh is not counted in the four. The church ages have four seals. I hope you get. And please make sure that I'm not complicated. Make sure I'm not complicated. I just want it simple. You know, it's simple. It's simple. I wanted to simplify it so that you can get it. So what about that? What about that? The four seals? He's not talking about the first seal, the first church age. He's not talking about that. He's allotted for each age. He's allotted, not necessarily the first seal, but he's allotted for every age. Do you know that what is allotted now here is so much than any other age? Because all of them have come here. All of them are here. But in each age, a piece, just a piece of revelation comes from heaven. That's why Paul could say, listen, that's why Paul could say, we see darkly like in a glass. It's not clear, it's so literal. And you think what Paul had was literal? that guy had it. That guy sounded like he had it. But that was very literal. Praise be to God. They had pieces, very small piece of it. Very small piece of it. Very small, every age had very small piece of it. Praise be to God. So not necessarily the first seal. But you hear the seal is open. Not necessarily that. A seal is something that God has, is a secret that God has sealed it. By the Holy Ghost. And it's always sealed by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has sealed it. And the Holy Ghost reveals it. When it's revealed, now you can see it. That's more, a portion for every age. Right. A secret for every age is revealed to God, to the people of that age. In heaven, what happens? A seal is opened. What is that? A mystery is unfolded, see? And then, that I'm still in paragraph 63. And when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sounds. You see, a seal opens, then a trumpet sounds. It's going to tell you what that trumpet is. Because we want to understand how the trumpet is by the prophet. Of course, I said it, but I wanted to understand by the prophet. And the prophet is going to say, it all happens at the same time. It's the same age. You know, one age comes, a seal opens. Not necessarily the seven seals, but a seal opens. Part of the seven seals, it opens. Now, the second thing that happens is a trumpet sounds. The third thing that happens is a plague. What's a plague? I'm going to read it here. What's a plague? A plague is something that some bad things happen to the people because they refused it. They are beaten by God. When they refused Jesus Christ and they killed him, what happened? Titus came and killed all of them like that. And the history says the only people that were saved were man-eaters and vampires. You know what that was? You know who that was? The disciples were called vampires. You remember there when they were told, you got to eat my body and you got to drink my blood? Now they were told that they were eaters of that body. They were eaters of men and they were drinkers of So the only people who got it, why? Because they knew the message of the hour. The message of the hour had said, when you see that happen, don't get in the city. Run away out of the city. Those people who didn't care about the message of the hour, they ran to the city. They had the old message. What had the old message changed? The old message had, listen, the old, that's what, that's the danger, right? That's the danger of the old message. The old message had said this. The old message had said that if you see anything happen, run, or wherever you see, you are, pray towards Jerusalem. That's what Solomon said. Pray towards Jerusalem. If you pray, that's what Muslims even do today. If you pray towards Jerusalem, God in heaven will hear. And if you have anything, run to Jerusalem, run inside Jerusalem. And there's a waiting war there. If you pray for anything there, God in heaven will hear. Because they refused Jesus Christ, who said, I'm that which Moses made. Drop it, this, and it rise up the following day, after 3 days. That temple, this was the true temple. That was just a type. Because they refused that and stayed with the old, the Pentecostal message, I would call it today. Because they did that, they died, every one of them. They ran there and they were saying, yes, we have the word. He said, if you go there and we go there and we worship there, nothing will happen to us. Who hears from heaven? They went there and died. They started killing one that was eating children. Oh, today we are eating anari, tomorrow we are going to eat aspen. They were doing that. And the prophet said, they were mad men. They were, how can you do that? I don't care how hungry I am. I'm not going to. Praise be to God. A certain demon had gotten them. When you refuse God, he says, you are better today. He says, there's a scripture, and you can apply it here also. if you are good today, and God has brought you to this, and now you refuse him, you change, you backslide. That demon goes and gets more. So those people had more demons now. How can you eat your child, Lina? Before they did that, they could not have eaten their children. But now they were like mad people. They were eating the backs of trees until they could not do it no more. They were eating their children now. They all died there. That was a plague. There's another one that the prophet says that, was it influenza or something? I think influenza got some people. I don't remember very well. But he calls it influenza. Influenza. Influenza, a disease.
Influence of another.
No.
Something
like that, influenza or influenza. He called it flu. It's like flu. He called it influenza. It got people here. I don't know where. I don't remember exactly where. But he said that was a plague. That was a plague. God, every time people refuse, this is dangerous. People don't realize how dangerous it is to refuse God. Because when that seal is opened, God requires people. Because God also does not even bring it like that. God has to prove to the people that I am He that is bringing it. You don't have a reason to refuse, just like Moses. People in Moses' time did not have a reason to refuse. How can, brother? You know, I understand, because the Bible said, and to that end, he was brought here on earth. How can Pharaoh see? Somebody saying, let there be frogs, and frogs come to a certain level, and then still. Brother, I would tell them, I'll not let him come and ask me again. I'll go ask him, please, Moses, do you see these people? Go, and I don't want to see them again here. I can't wait for the second one. Count 1, 2, 3, 4, and see his heart. I don't see. But now we understand how God had hardened his heart. Praise be to God. But brother, God has got to come. He said, I don't bring a judgment before a warning. I cannot bring a plague before warning. I can come here and convince you and show by signs and wonders, vindications, show you it's me who is speaking. Now when you refuse that, then a plague falls. That's what he says. All right. Now look here. Okay. Announcement. So when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sound, it declares a war. Why a war? Why does a trumpet declare a war? Why is a trumpet declaring war? Now, when that seal comes, the prophet says this. I cannot bring every quote here, but I have two quotes. These two quotes are saying like this. If that thing that you've brought is that old ecclesiastical sign, is it voice? So that old ecclesiastical voice, that old thing. If it's not a new thing, if that... If somebody comes from heaven, even through the wall here, and comes and stands before you, and he said, praise Jesus is God, to us, what he's saying, that's just drama. Do you understand what I mean? What is that? We know that. That's not new. What is that? Why God? Is God sending somebody to entertain us? God is not an entertainer. If he sent somebody, it's something new, something so great that he wants to have a sign that it's him who is talking. If that, he said, if that old ecclesiastical voice, just leave it. It's nothing. There's nothing there. It's got to be something new. It's got to be something new. So why war? Why is that trumpet war? That trumpet is saying something completely new. And against, it's always against the traditions of the people. So people are against it. People refuse it. Like, for example, when the prophet started. When he started. Do you know the first war that the prophet had with the Baptist church? You know, he was trying to be a godly person. And the only place he could go was Baptist church. That seems to be a bit spiritual. That's the best among us that time. So he thought this is the best. So he went here. Do you know the first problem he had with them? The first problem he had with them was baptism. They want to baptize him in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. And he said, before you damn me, and I don't see, I'm not hearing again, just make sure you say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everybody else was being baptized like that, but he himself, the preacher promised him, you can do that, and he did that. That's the first war. The second war that he had until they sent him away was ordaining a woman. Is it? But I don't know whether you do that. But can't you see this? Can't you? A new thing was coming, brother. A new thing was coming. What is it? It's a war. A trumpet had started. It's not war. Like now in 1964, it's war, 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 war. 1963, 1962, it's war, war. Everything is gone around the world. But those days, it is. Is a trumpet starting to sound? And when it starts to sound, it's a war. It's always a war. Why? It's a new thing. It's a new message. Something different from the people. So the people has got to fight for. I mean, what's the war part? The age of the church catches the. Okay, a praying force and the church is opened. Okay, it goes like that. Now, the age. Have you understood that? A praying force when it falls. Now, the next thing that comes is another church age. The next church age. These people dies, and they are sealed in heaven. He's going to explain. They are sealed in heaven. They are taken in heaven. They are sealed. The Holy Ghost that they are given is a seal. They are sealed. And they are sealed until when? They are sealed until the day of redemption. What is that? The day of redemption is until Jesus comes to marry them. Yeah. I hope that is clear. Because I think that is said so many times. You are sealed until the day of redemption. And sealed is you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. So it's not complete. It's not yet. You are sealed until. you're not finished yet. Although a seal means a finished work. But it's until. It's like he explains it. He says it's like a car. You know, a car, like the car. Are they called cars? In Kenya, we call them bogi. Bogi is gari ya moshi. You know, your car, that one car, it's sealed. Because why? It's complete. It belongs to the owner. It's finished work. It belongs to the owner. Do you get the point? Do you get the point? But it will not stay sealed like that forever. Praise be to God. The purpose of sealing it is holding it. It's to show the people something. This is mine. You see that? So when I'm sealed, when those people like Paul were sealed, he was sealed. Listen. Because you hear Paul had the Holy Ghost and things, the Holy Ghost fell on the people. That's okay. I agree. That was the Holy Ghost. It's only the Holy Ghost who can seal you. It's the seal of the Holy Ghost. Praise be God. And I'm going to read down here. He's going to show you. What does it mean? You're mine. The devil must know and everything must know. This is mine. And you cannot go nowhere else. You're going to your destination. That car, that box, truck or something is going to its destination. Which is the destination? Coming of Christ. Jesus will come and marry you or take you. If you're not, because there are people who will go to heaven and they're not, and they're not the bride. Like the sealing of the 144, they're not the bride or something like that. But anyways, I hope you get that. Look at that. So they're sealed. Those people are sealed. Those people are sealed. And they're taken to the sixth dimension. Yes, they stay there. No. The age of the Lord church catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed. But when he does, not when he starts it with it, sometimes it's not fully revealed. But when he does, he catches this mystery of God. And then he goes forth to the people after the mystery has been given to him. Goes forth to the people. What does he do out there? He begins to proclaim that message. And what does it start? A war, a spiritual war. He says, a spiritual war. No, no, no. It's supposed to be in the Father, in the Son of the Son of the Holy Ghost. No, the baptism is supposed to be immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's a war. You understand that? So what does it start? It starts a war. Because a new message has come. That's what happens. Okay, and that is the trumpet. What is doing this is a trumpet. That prophet of that age or the messenger of that age has taken a trumpet. He's saying, no, it's supposed to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a baptism. You get that? And it should be immersion. He's against the Catholic Church. He's against the Anglican Church. He's against the Methodist Church. He's against all that. He comes and says, no, it's supposed to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's bound to be immersion. And they come up. The whole world comes against it because it's new. That's the war part. So that's why a trumpet always brings a war. I hope you understand. A spiritual war. And then God takes the message, his messenger with the elect of that age and lays them away asleep. And then he drops a plague upon the people who rejected it. Who rejected it? A temporary judgment. He says, a temporary judgment. I think you're understanding. Everyone is understanding. A temporary judgment. Okay. And then after that is over, then it goes on. And they denominate and bring denominations. And start off with that man's work. Like Wesleyan Church. That is Methodist Church. Wesleyan Church is the same. You know that. Methodist Church is the same. what is this? Ruler and church. Praise be to God. They continue with that man's work. And they're very strong. Yes. He resisted. He's the one who, and that's true. He resisted. You're talking about Wesley traversed from Europe and he crossed over here and he went back and forth and he shocked the world. That's true. That's true. Praise be to God. But it's done. It's finished. It's not for now. That time was right. And the people continued, but a new thing came. When a new thing came, though that was great, and though that was so good, that is not good now. I don't know how many have had communion here. I think you people that are grown up had communion. Have you ever had communion? You had communion? Now, I don't know where they used to do this. We used to give communion. When he grew up, we had this revelation, so you didn't have communion. maybe you ate it in Moriah's house, I don't know. But this is how the communion was eaten. It must be a bread without nothing. You don't add nothing. It's got to be whole wheat and nothing added to it. Now, when you have that, you can eat and some of it remains. You remember that? I don't know whether you did that. According to the prophet, you can remain. You may not eat all of it. So if you don't eat all of it, that one is not, that does not stay until morning. Yeah. According to us, and according to the prophet, and according to the Bible. Did you eat communion? Have you eaten communion? Okay. But you're not serving it. You might not know this. Maybe Don and Brother Holmes and them who are serving it. You've got to take that and get it outside the camp and burn it. It cannot stay until morning, according to the word. What does that mean? The food for this today, the food for Pentecost, the food for Wesley cannot wait until Ruther. Is it Ruther? Ruther first. The food for Ruther, that seal that has been opened to Ruther, and Ruther brought it after it's done work, and Wesley comes. Wesley cannot have, you cannot have it during Wesley's time. It's over. That's why. This is another example. Do you remember they were told when they are correcting manna, they cannot correct for tomorrow? Do you know that? They cannot correct. And if they correct, tomorrow it will have maggot. You cannot eat today's food tomorrow. You cannot. But you know what? God will do us whatever he wants. On Saturday, because they're not supposed to work, they had to correct for twice until that day. And when they go there, it doesn't have maggot. It's too fresh. It's God's law. You've got to work God's law. You've got to be like that. So you cannot have Wesley's message over here, you can have that. Praise be to God. All right. And then another mystery comes forth. Then the I think I've read that. I don't know where I've come to. And then that happened. Finally, then he's got away. And then when he is laid away, then a plague force destroys them. Spiritual death hits the church, and she's gone. That group. Then he goes on. That was paragraph 67. Then the last part of paragraph 70. Then he goes on to another. Oh, it's a great plan. Until it comes, have I read everything on that? Then when he arrives, the trumpet sounds, he declares war. And then what happens? Finally, then he goes like that. He got away. Okay, now. Until it comes, paragraph 68. Now, this is where I said I was supposed to put it somewhere down there. I didn't mean to bring it today, but it's good. It connects with it. What I was saying about he didn't have. Now, listen. Until it comes to that last age, now, he has no certain mystery. Another Saturday, he can bring that. He can bring all that, even that, and bring them here. All right. But he gathers up all that's been lost in them other ages, all the truths that wasn't truly revealed yet. See, as the revelation come, then he reveals those things in this day. If you want to read it, there it is, Revelation 10, 1 to 1, 1 to 4, you get it. All right, see, takes the book and the seals of the seals and breaks them and shows the seventh age. For this alone, the mysteries of God is the ministry of the seventh age. Now, we just come through the church ages. With even history and prove that, see, it is the age's message of the seventh church age, of the seventh church. All right, reviews all the mysteries that have been in the past, all the things in the past, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. You see, it doesn't say Revelation 1 to 10. He says Revelation 10, 1 to 10. He says Revelation 1 to 7. You know, there at the Revelation 10, 7, he says, and when in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall sound, all the mystery of God that are written by the prophets. The prophets say, those are the people who wrote the Bible. Those are the prophets who wrote the Bible. Look at that. The prophets who wrote the Bible. Now, you ask me, because the prophet is going to say that Moses and Elijah has got to be, if you study that, he's going to say that Moses and Elijah has got to be those prophets. He says those prophets. Then down in there he says, because they're only here, they're prophets. Brother Don is doing this, okay? because they're only here. Because the Jews, the Israelites, only here they're prophets. So in other words, they got to only hear. In other words, that buttresses, that gives strength to their doctrine that it must be Moses who is going to rise again or something, and Elijah rise again. There will be two men coming. That gives them strength. But now, if you look at that, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, look at 7. He says, can we read it? Let's read it, because it's coming to my, it's disturbing me. So let's get it out of the way. Are you okay? Good. You're sleepy? Oh, sorry about that. I'm going to be very short here. Let's go to that just a minute so that you read it. So that, you know, is this confusion that I see people with that really, you know, questions. I like preaching questions. I mean, trying to answer some questions like that. But that's a big question in the Bible. Is it Revelation 10, 7? I think, see, God does really help me to get it fast. Revelation 10, 1, 7. It's not there, but you can read it on your phone or something. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God, the mystery, not the mysteries now, the mystery, because it's just one thing. It's the mystery of Christ. The mystery of this book, of redemption. Okay. The mystery of God should be finished. The mystery of God should be finished. As he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Now look, those prophets, the prophet says, those are the prophets who wrote the Bible. Do you understand that? Now, in a nutshell, who do you think wrote the Bible? The Old and New Testament? According to the prophet, in the Indivisible Union, he says, what are you doing with me here? He says, don't you know who wrote the Bible? He says Moses. Who wrote the Old Testament? He said Moses. Moses was a Jew. They hear their voice. They are here. They hear their prophets. Praise be to God. You cannot take them nothing else. They hear their prophets. So who is the Moses? Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? Paul. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the New Testament? Paul. So those, the New and the Old Testament is Paul and Paul and Moses. So they can hear them. Those are their prophets. Can you hear that? They don't hear nobody else. They hear their prophets. If you take them anything, that's what the prophet said. If you tell a Jew, if you slice God into three parts, Son, Holy Ghost, and the Father. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And give to a Jew. You cannot take that. Their prophets didn't teach them that. Know ye Israel, thy God is one God. That's in Psalms or somewhere. Praise be to God. If they only hear their prophets, praise be to God. And even those who are given robes, they are given robes. You know one thing about them is that they are given robes because they stayed true to God. Not to Jesus Christ, to God, to what they knew at the Old Testament. They stayed true to that. Then they moved from that. They were giving everything that was said by Moses. Okay, like that. So, where am I now? All right. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to jump. Let me read Marathon. Let me read very fast now. Okay. When the first seal, I'm going to read just the red part there. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, paragraph 93. When the first seal, the red part, when the first seal was opened up, the first trumpet sounded, and the first plague fell. When the sixth seal opened up, the sixth sounded, and the sixth plague fell. Just watch it. It's the most beautiful thing that you ever seen. If you look at it like that, it's very simple. It's very beautiful. You understand it. That's how it happens. As it opens, a trumpet sounds, then a plague falls, and there it goes. Okay. And there are also the vows and things like that, and we can come to that. But now, paragraph, the first seal again. Let's start studying paragraph 130. Now, let's start studying a little now. Get down on our lesson. I just keep on that. We'll get this seal to the seal. Now, notice. Let's take now, because we are going to have a long, maybe tomorrow night or next night. Hit the trumpet now and then. Because the trumpet sounds, now you can understand, you people, you can understand how the prophet was being told in 1964, preaching the trumpets, he was told, he was preparing to preach the trumpets. He was told, no, you don't, you preach them supernaturally. You didn't know that you preached them. As you went along, you preached them. That is it. This is the first year. He's preaching it. He didn't know he was preaching it. It was opened already. He didn't know. He thought there's somewhere he's going to say, you see that? He's preaching it. Hit the trumpet now and then, because the trumpet sounds at the same time the seals. It sounds at the same time. It's just the same thing. The church age opens, just the same thing. See? Can you see that? Church age opens, a messenger comes, a seal opens and given to the messenger. This messenger takes the trumpet. Trumpet is preaching. Trumpet is simply preaching. It's called the gospel trumpet. He preaches. That's the trumpet. He preaches it. The people refuse it. When they refuse it, a plague is dropped. And these people, because of trusting it, the life, a very small life from that word of that age, because it's a piece of the word also. We are seeing, looking at it, dark green and grass. That life of that is very small life also. I'm not calling it right away. The prophet does not say that. But I hope it's for your understanding. It's for our understanding. It's not full. So that life, part of it, part of the word, part of the life of the word, comes to them. It seals them. They're sealed of the word of their age. They're sealed them. Until the fullness will come. Until Jesus comes. Now they are married. They are taken. They have the whole life now from there when Jesus comes. And they could not have it until now. All right. And of course, Brother Don has really covered those things in there. Brother Don, they're good. Those quotes you brought, they are really marvelous. They are really marvelous, and I would say I really love them. I really love them there, and I have them. Don't think I don't have. I'm studying them, brother. I'm studying. I'm really on them. I'm really on them all the time. I like them. And I study. I'm not afraid to say I study more than you. But brother, I'm really, it really, is it called mesmerizing me? It's really, it really takes me, brother, when I'm reading those quotes. Some of those quotes are powerful, powerful quotes right there. And I love them. I put them somewhere and mark them. You mark them, but I mark them further. So, because they are good to me, and I love them. So, like that. So, and that's right. Now, and then because the trumpet, okay, that's right. That's it's the same thing. And did you notice at the last ages message, the trumpet sounds, the first age message? That's the seventh. That's in the seventh. The last age message, a trumpet sounded. A second age, can you see that? It's the same thing. It's sounding of the trumpet. The trumpet sounds, the first age's message, a trumpet sound. Second age's message, a trumpet sounded. Then when he sent it out, notice, but when the seals were all announced, they were all in one great divine thing to call out a group of people. There was one trumpet sound and seven seals were broke. What is that? That's the seventh trumpet. Is that right? When the seventh trumpet broke, when the seventh sounded, trumpet sounded, the seals broke. Is that right? Praise be to God. Who brought? God opened the seals and gave it to who? To the seventh angel. To sound that trumpet. Is that right? That's what happened. Praise be to God. I hope you can get that now. The sixth seal. The sixth seal. He's just saying almost the same thing, but I just decided to. And he sent forth the first messenger and preached. And trumpet sounded as we pick it up after a while. And then the trumpet was declaring war. A trumpet always denotes war. The messenger, the angel come on earth, the messenger of the hour, like Ruthers, like any of the messengers that we have talked of. What does he do? He arrives and a seal opened, revealed, a trumpet sound, war declared, and away they go. And then the messenger dies and seals away. You see that word? Seal. Seals away. Seals away. They are sealed and they put in the... Now, remember, they might not even die. You are sealed here on earth and you might not die immediately. Whether you die or live, you are sealed. That's why Paul was saying, if you die for me is gain. I mean, it doesn't matter whether I die or stay. It doesn't matter. Because I'm sealed already. I'm headed there. Praise be to God. You see, here on earth, you're sealed. Until the day of... But not today. Today is different. Today is marriage. In the church ages, was a seal. Today is marriage. And even them, listen very carefully, and I have quotes if you want to. And even them, am I shouting very much? I'm sorry, Father. I don't do. But listen, even them that were sealed and taken to the seal, to the seventh dimension, they needed rest when he came. Because they were sealed there until he came. So when he came, he had this, his coming had also to go to them. If you want a quote, I can give it to you. That's why even the souls at the altar. After this, there's no sealing, no nothing, because this is the end of it. After the seals are open, that's the end of it. You are what you are. Whatever the people are, they are what they are. Praise be to God. All right. And away they go. And then the message dies. He seals away this group. They are put in and plague falls upon those who rejected it. He's just saying the same thing. Now, I decided to bring this so that even if I will not be able to read it, it will be there for you to look at it. I've been saying it every now and then. I remember whenever I preach, I mentioned that once in a while. But I decided to put it here just in case for your record. Seal signifies now when somebody you see, he's sealed. And anything that is sealed, you think about that tree, think about that book, or anything. What a seal signifies. A seal, and if you don't connect this seal about what is saying here is finished work, and the tree of life, just ask me, I will explain to you. I don't have time now, I will explain to you. How this book of redemption is Jesus Christ and is sealed. And it also means the finished work. I will also explain to you. Praise be to God. All right, but let's finish this because I know I've taken a bit of your time. Let's finish this. See, now, this is the words I got from the dictionary. Seal signifies finished work. And when the seventh seal is broken, and the mystery of God that sealed in this book, mystery seals, is finished. Until that day, the seal is broke, and then it's revealed what's on the inside of it. If a man, he gives an example. If the man is wondering what is in that box car, like a train, box car, bogie. In that box car. See, there's supposed to be such and such. You might think there's supposed to be such and such. That is exactly what the church ages thought. What is in this? They were wondering all the time. They were wondering because the seals are not revealed. There is supposed to be. He's presuming But when he see the seal is broken and the door is open, we see into it and then see exactly what is in there. Now listen, you see it, see it, and that, all, that will only be done at the end time. The opening of those seals will be done at the end time. And this is the time he's actually revealing the seals now. In the breach, this is in the breach. In the breach, paragraph 77, that was 71, now I'm 72. Another thing, it means three things. It means finished work, then it means ownership, and then it means security. You are secured to your destination. You got to go to your destination. Another thing a seal signifies is ownership. See, the seal has a mark on it, shows ownership. You belong to God. When you have that seal on you, you belong to God. The devil knows. And everyone knows, this does not belong to me. This, have you heard the prophets? I don't know whether he's here, but have you heard the prophet says, take off your Satan, take off your dirty hearts from this property of God. Amen. It belongs to God. It belongs to, it has a seal on it. It belongs to God. Okay. When you are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost, you no longer belong to the world or anything pertaining to the world. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to Satan. You are owned by God. You don't belong even to yourself. You are a property of God. You have a right. You have a right to take off your dirty hands from this property of God. Praise be to God. All right. Another thing is, a seal is security. You're secured. No sin can be imputed, no nothing. You're truly this way. You are complete. You are good. You are good to go. You are secured. Nothing can touch, no, nothing can harm you until your destination. Until when? Until Jesus comes to marry you. That's your head. That's the head of it. That's perfection. All right. Another thing is, a seal is a security. Seal means you are secured. Now, you that don't believe in eternal security, I don't know. See? But now, but a seal signifies security to its destination. Who went to that guy that would try to break that seal? And the Holy Spirit seal cannot be broken. You're good to go. All right. Now, I'd like to. Okay. Let me read this. There are just two paragraphs and then I finish. You have heard me say that the people, and this is interesting. You all have heard me say that people said, the devil made me do this. No. The devil didn't do it. The devil didn't do it. You just wasn't sealed in. Does that mean that you cannot err in this body? That doesn't mean that. No. He's talking about the sealing is not done in the body. That's not the sealing. You cannot unbelieve God's words. Amen. That's why Adam did not unbelieve God's word. He cannot. Adam could not. You cannot. You can be found anywhere. I mean, the devil can do whatever he wants to do. But you are secured to your eternal destination. Praise be to God. And you cannot, even there, if you are taken by the devil somewhere, if you are taken to the Pope and forced with a gun to do some things, you say no. You are saying no and you are struggling there. Remember, praise be to God. You cannot unbelieve him. You cannot unbelieve God. That you are sealed. There's nothing you can do. They can kill you. They can do anything. This body, they can make this body do anything. They can rape you. They can do anything. But that seal, they can touch it. It's secured to its eternal destination. You made me do it. You just wasn't sealed in. If you went to unbelieving, not this body. Come to a place where you know there's a truth, and you refuse it. You know it. You cannot refuse this. You cannot refuse the word of God. A son of God will not. When he sees it. Now you went out to him. He couldn't get into you because the only way to get into you is come through the same process that you have. He would have to be saved, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he would be your brother. So, so didn't do it. No. You just went to the borderline and come back lasting for the things of the world. You never went all the way over to Canaan. See, you didn't go all the way to have the Holy Ghost. You see, cross Jordan, the death to self. You didn't have that. You didn't die to yourself. Okay, now, I wanted just to read this, the last one, to show, let me just read it. Because it is so much in the message, but sometimes I realize that people don't realize. They think you're sealed. You're sealed. You have the Holy Ghost. Like the people in the upper room, they had the Holy Ghost. I agree, they had the Holy Ghost. They were sealed. They were sealed in. That a seal is the Holy Ghost. But not yet. Until. That's why I wanted to read this quote. How long does it last when you get in there? When you're sealed in, how long does it take? Okay, he says, until you misbehave yourself? Praise God. No. Misbehave your body. That does not do it. You can't. You can do that. You are sealed to your destination. Okay. Until you misbehave yourself? Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Are you with him? Not me. Are you with the scripture now? Not me. That's what it says. I'm reading it. I would like to read this to the people who say that the Holy Ghost in those days in the church ages and now is the same. I would like them to tell them, argue with this. To me, this is makes it clear. I don't know. Argue with him, not me. That's what he says. That's what he says. I'm reading it. All right. You are sealed until the day of your redemption. What is that? The prophet interprets it. Until the day that Jesus comes for you. Praise be to God. Can somebody, would you like brother to say something? Just come. Oh, I don't know. Or we can pray or something. I don't know. God bless you. Sorry for keeping you wrong. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you. I know you enjoyed tonight, and he brought the plan of it. That's what the prophet said. That's what it was. And one of the things he was mentioning, the plagues that fail, that came as judgment when they rejected the word, and there was the influenza was one. I think he called it, is that the blue bubonic plague? Blue bubonic plague? That was another. If that thing or another one, I don't remember now. But he mentioned several of those. But another one of the quotes that he read, you'll notice in there, every age, when the plague fell, then spiritual death.
That's right.
So there was the natural side, there was the spiritual side. And so the spiritual side was, they had already judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. And so that's why Brother Branham said, people who think you're going to go over there and you're going to hash it out and you're going to be judged. No, you already judged yourself. You've judged yourself worthy or unworthy of eternal life. So when you reject the word, as they did through every age, when that gospel trumpet was sounding, they judged themselves unworthy. And it was spiritual death. And so we thank God. And a lot of good things there, and a lot more that Brother Gumba will bring on that. So we ask you to stand together with us. We look to the Lord now as we close. Now we do got school tomorrow, and I know Amber is testing tomorrow. She's got a math test, so we ask you to be in prayer for her. Amen. And she asks for prayer every time. Sometimes she asks for it over and over and over again, and that's good. That's so good. And we want to keep it right before the Lord. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for revelation. And Lord, we really enjoyed the message tonight, Lord. We thank one of the really good points, deeper points that Brother Gumba brought is, Lord, that those trumpets, that prophet had preached them supernaturally and he didn't know it. And Lord, he pointed that out. He brought that out right there in the seal book, how it was being done, when it was being done, the very thing that the prophet said. And Lord, it shows how easy it is for us to miss it unless you give us revelation of it, Father. Lord, we ask for revelation. Lord, that you would continually bless your bride, speak to your bride, Lord, word by word, Lord, in every message. Lord, bless Brother Gumba as he brings these things. Bless each heart, Lord, as we long to hear and receive it, to eat upon it, Lord. Lord, may you go with each one now. Bless the children in school tomorrow. Help them in their test. Give them wisdom and guidance, Lord. And give us spiritual wisdom, Lord, to receive every word, every promise. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.